Lance Brozdowski does an amazing job of doing player development analysis for Marquee, the road to Wrigley. I always feel like when I watch him, I get smarter. So we were happy to have him come on the show. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Lance, thanks so much for joining us here. We appreciate you. Let's start with some of the scuttlebutt that's been going on with the Cubs. As you look at them, what do you think that Jed and the crew might be looking to add to make them a better team?
First off, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate the flattering intro there. Yeah, I mean, they need starting pitching. I think that's pretty clear. We had a debate on this on Road to Wrigley last night, myself and play-by-play, Alex Cohen. We're talking through it. You know, I think Alex likes the diversity route of, like, we get a reliever, we get a third baseman, and then get, like, a Merrill Kelly type, and that's the only pitcher you need to add. My angle is more that I think versus basically any team in the National League, if you line the Cubs up from a starting pitching standpoint, 1 through 3, you're at a disadvantage. I get that. Like, you could just bet that the offense is better than anybody's in baseball and roll that way. I actually don't mind that. But I think you increase your probability of winning the World Series. I think you aggressively need to go after a frontline starter and probably some kind of, let's say, number 3 or 4 in a rotation. So whether you do that on a multi-year capacity or as rentals, to be determined based on price. But that's where my focus would be, more so than upgrading third base. I do think you probably need some kind of reliever as to whether it's a leverage guy and you want to pay for that and allocate resources there, kind of up to Jed and company in terms of where the prices fall. But I'm fascinated to see what they do.
So that was 2 starters that you're saying that you advocate for 2 at this point to fill things out.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, let's think of it this way. If you get a frontline guy, I'm fine not getting like another one. You know, okay. Like if you go get, let's say, I think if you get like a Gallon type, a Sandy type, I'm cool with that. Like, I think that's probably enough. And I know a lot of people seem to be off the Sandy boat, but I'm still on it. Same with the Gallon boat. Like, I get those are both bets you have to make those guys better. But I don't know, man. Zach Gallon has all the incentives in the world to pitch well in the postseason, given that a prior teammate of his, Jordan Montgomery, made a ton of money pitching well in the postseason. So if that guy can refine his slider, figure something out, be to take him. If you go and get, like, a Kelly, I'm not entirely sure that dramatically changes like the outlook of the team. I think it's a very important piece, but then you probably need like a leverage reliever. And I take Mr. Cohen's point of going and getting a third baseman and allocating resources that way. But I just worry, like, think about it, Speaks. Think about it from the angle of like, Gabe Horan is again, they're not, he's not in the angle. I mean, we've evolved past that. It's more of a workload thing. Like, we'll see where his workload is. Is he going to be throwing 5 or 6 innings in October? I don't think so. Boyd, like, what is he? Hasn't thrown 90 innings since 2019, I believe it is. He's already over 110. Like, he's pacing to hit 200-plus if you want to keep throwing him and throw him into the postseason. Like, Shota, Splitter's not going to get as many whiffs. I'm still confident he's going to blossom. Honestly, it might be a good thing he underwent a hamstring injury because he's not going to, again, probably eclipse that 180-200 mark. So I just wonder whether you need like a couple pieces there to help you on the rotation side.
Lance Brozdowski with us here on Spiegel and Holmes. I think the goal should be a potentially dominant power arm come playoff time to slot between Boyd and Shota. I don't think the Twins are going to move Joe Ryan. I don't think the Rangers are going to move Jacob DeGrom. He's a lefty, and sure, you'd love to have Mackenzie Gore. I don't get the sense that that guy's going anywhere. So, like, I'm enamored with Sandy Alcantara. What is your sense of why his value is so hard to pin down in terms of his stuff and the way he has looked as a pitcher this year?
Yeah, I think he's an interesting one. I really like Sandy, and I think on any other team, in any other climate, you'd look at him and go, you're getting 2 more years of control, somewhat of a reasonable price, one of the best starters in baseball. I get he hasn't been dominant, per se, since, like, early 23, I think that would be, but like the concern with acquiring Sandy is how confident are you as an organization, and this is something I imagine Devin Carter are talking about internally, how comfortable are you rolling him out deep into October, immediately coming off surgery, and thinking he will be, you know, let's say like a sub-4 ERA guy or better than that, because that is who he can be. So whether he is that immediately in this postseason, I think, is a question. So he's a weird one where, like, the price isn't, you're going to have to pay. Like, I see a lot on social media that people are like, don't necessarily know if I want him. Like, look at, he's got like a 70 ERA, blah, blah, blah. But, like, he is the piece that if you look 2 years into the future, if you can get him for, like, at cost right now or even a slight discount because of how he's performing, he's an absolute slam dunk. Like, you're projecting that guy as a top 20, 30 pitcher, probably even better than that. That's conservative, I would say, into next season. The innings total there has always been really, really strong for him. Talking to some Marlins coaches, like, he's a guy that prioritizes going deep into games, which is this long career. He has the arsenal to do it. He has the velocity to do it. I just think some of his locations and feel has been off. Early in the year, he said that he was having trouble bouncing back from starts. I don't know if that's resurfaced or if that's something he cited again or whether he's totally fine and he's still having struggles. But, man, I have a hard time not zooming out and still seeing him as like a top 20 pitcher in baseball. I think any time you have a chance to add that, you got to do it.
Lance, what's your scouting report on Adrian Hauser?
That's not what I thought you were going to ask me about. I have no idea how that guy's been this fantastic. He was a Met prior. I mean, he's like one of these guys. So I was actually talking to a coach earlier this morning, and we were talking about like how you reconcile sometimes the gap between a guy's performance on field and his expected performance. So you can use something like a ERA and an expected ERA, you know, like xERA. You sometimes see that come up on broadcasts occasionally. What sample you get comfortable admitting that this guy, let's say Hauser or any pitcher who's overperforming his underlying stuff, is this good to the point where you can project him going forward? And I think this is like an art thing. Like, I don't necessarily think many teams would project him as like a really good pitcher going forward. Like, you run him through models and you're like, cool, he's like a worse than league average starting pitcher. Like, I don't necessarily know why I'd acquire that at the deadline. He seems to be floating around in some deadline conversations. I don't know. Like, think of in the Central, Andrew, it's a great example. Each of the last two seasons, he's well overperformed his peripherals. And I think if you project him going forward, you would lean more towards what he's done as opposed to what his underlying stuff is. The key difference between Abbott and Hauser, Abbott is a lefty. And I feel like lefties a lot of the time can buy themselves some of these weird angle traits, deception traits. Righties just don't see them as much. And that creates that difference, and you're more comfortable with it. I don't think there are a lot of righties in baseball that are like deceptive to the point where I would project them to be aggressively better than their expected numbers. And that's where I come down with Hauser. I don't see how he's been this good. And I haven't gotten a chance to talk to like a Brian Bannister about why he's been this good, but I'm impressed. I'm fascinated to see what he does tonight.
I think they're really good at the reclaim, fix, and flip. I mean, Eric Fetty just got let go by the Cardinals because he fell apart when he was there. But, you know, the White Sox turned him into a little something-something. Lance, all right, so you're doing Road to Wrigley last night next to Jim Callis, and you guys are looking at all the kids. What is reasonable to part with from the Cubs system that will be appetizing enough to get you, let's just say it's a high-end rental. Let's say it's Merrill Kelly or it's Dylan Cease as a rental if A.J. Preller moves that way, and he might. What is reasonable to part with? Not Owen Casey, but what is reasonable and what would be appetizing to some of those other teams?
Yeah, it's a great point. I think, you know, I feel like the industry has talked, especially Chicago media, a lot about Owen Casey. The name that I think would not be on the table, and I don't have any info here, it's just my gut on how I've talked to other people about Jackson Wiggins, the starting pitcher who was down for a period of time for workload reasons. He really didn't have a lot of innings on his arm, but his stuff at AA is like, yeah, that's the guy, from my understanding, if you talk to other organizations as to like, okay, we have a piece that's maybe somewhat controllable. You know, what can we get from the Cubs that we'd be tantalized by? Wiggins is the guy that has the upside for the Cubs to maybe look back in a couple years and go, man, I can't believe you traded him. But there's a ton of risk there, right? He doesn't have a lot of innings on his arm. He throws really hard. You know, you're buying into a black box that it's very shiny on the outside, to use a weird metaphor that I just created in my head. To give something up for a rental, you probably aren't going Casey. You probably aren't going Wiggins. You got to look at one of these AAA guys that are somewhat blocked. I think Ballesteros, Triantos, Christian Franklin, Jonathan Long. Now, those are the guys that I think make the most sense in that scenario because they're blocked for the next year or so at the major league level. I don't really see how any of those guys get into the major league lineup. The problem is the evaluations from talking to other teams on those AAA guys that are somewhat blocked, I find more variance from organization to organization. So this is one of those things like, we don't necessarily know which team, you know, prefers Ballesteros and is like, well, we're fine that we don't necessarily know if he'll catch. We love bats. We'll find a spot for him at DH. That's the hard part for me is like, I don't know what teams line up. Like, is it the Royals and a Seth Lugo type? He's got another year of control, I believe. You know, on the rental side, like, I think the D-backs are probably going to lean pitching. And the Cubs don't really have many pitchers below Jackson Wiggins, unless you're buying back into Brandon Birdsoe, just came off the IL. Like, they don't have a lot of pitching to ship. So I struggle on, like, what is the Kelly price or the Gallen price? Can you convince them to take one of these AAA guys? The other batch of prospects that I could see them potentially moving for a rental is one of these far-off international guys. They've done a really good job, the Cubs have, in the last couple of years, building out their international side. They have Scott Juan Tomas. They have a variety of Fernando Cruz. They paid a lot for these guys, but these are guys that are four-plus years away, ton of variance. And I wonder whether Jed and company would look at one of those guys. And even if the acquiring team is like, man, we really like this guy in the international circuit. The Cubs got him. We value him almost near, let's say, like a Triantos in the top 10. But he's so far off from the Cubs, maybe we could get him for a rental. I wonder whether that is more appetizing for the Cubs to give up. So those are your two buckets, right? The AAA guys you can convince the team is a major leaguer right now. Ship him for a rental. He's blocked on the Cubs. Doesn't really matter if it's a slight overpay. Or if there's an international guy they're comfortable giving up, then maybe that's another angle for a team that is further off from competing, doesn't really need the AAA guy right now.
Lance Brozdowski of Marquee joining us here for a couple more minutes. Lance, what do you value when you look at relievers at the trade deadline?
Swing miss, baby. I just want you missing bats. I think that's one of the biggest things that's most predictive going forward. Contact quality and all those other angles is really hard in some of the samples you run into with relievers to parse, especially because, like, I'm sure people have said it before. I'll regurgitate it. You know, you give up four runs in an outing, it takes you a couple months to figure out how to get that ERA back down to a palatable level. I just want swing miss. I want velocity. I want swing miss. Those two are often strongly correlated together. So that would be my baseline first thing I'm looking at.
Are you surprised that Ben Brown has not been converted to a swing-miss reliever at this point in the year? I am.
Yeah, I somewhat am. I still think I got to toe the line here. He's a guy that I'm somewhat surprised they've not expanded the mix with. In talking to other organizations about what they would do with Ben Brown, almost every single one of them I've talked to is like, he would have a cutter and a sinker the day we got him. And I fear that I don't entirely know. I'm sure the Cubs know more about the development track. I'm not in any way debating what Javi and Jacobson and everyone else has done from a front office standpoint in terms of developing Ben Brown. But you think about this, like if all the other teams are saying he'd have two more pitches right now, like Cubs haven't given him two pitches, those extra two pitches to help with giving something else in zone, like how do you reconcile that difference? That's sometimes what I struggle with. And I wonder whether he's Jed said I believe it was a Friday ago or two Fridays ago, press conference at Wrigley Field, like he talked about, we may have to get creative. I interpreted that as potentially there are major league pieces they're willing to part with as opposed to pure prospects. I kind of wonder if Ben Brown is the guy that other teams are asking about from this standpoint, where he hasn't been that good. You know, Jed Carter, where's the price on him as an acquiring org? I think if you put him on the table, again, I don't know if he is. If you put him on the table, I think you'd get some intriguing offers back. He's a guy that I think could maybe swing trades or potentially centerpiece a trade for a team that is in one of these rebuild areas where it's like, you know, we're not 2 to 3 years away, so we're not going to wait on Jackson Wiggins, you know, even though we take Wiggins over Brown. Like, we're kind of here right now. We're just going to retool Ben Brown. We think we can make some adjustments with, you know, ship out a rental or two or something along those lines. I don't think they trade him for a rental, but I'm trying to figure out, like, what the balance is. You know, like, does he make sense for, like, the Royals and Seth Lugo? Like, that's another year of control. I wonder if internally the Cubs are thinking that's a little bit more palatable of a route to potentially let Brown blossom elsewhere.
It's good stuff from Lance Brozdowski. Thanks, man. We appreciate the insight, and we always get smarter, dude. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care. Enjoy the deadline.